When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If the roar of the crowd gives you goosebumps, cashing a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry, then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions, shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast.
Oh, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's your boy Dale in here with the co-host du jour, as I have now dubbed you. Soup, what's up, buddy?
Nothing much, man. Yeah. my brain's taking a minute here. We gotta get this rolling, get this together. I just got some life stuff on the plate, but yeah. It's time to put that aside. And when you walk through the door at work, you leave your personal life on the outside.
Wow.
And it's time to get to work.
You know, I honestly thought you were inspired by tonight's Dr. Oz versus John Fetterman debate, based on the way that you're acting just like Fetterman.
I'm going to throw this out there. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I do have the Fetterman Oz debate recording.
Yeah. It's sweet.
I need to sit down and watch an absolute shit show train wreck.
Bro, I've watched clips. Like, Twitter is doing a great job of clipping it. And it is, I'm not going to spoil it, but it's everything you are wanting it to be.
Oh, God.
So, wow. Yeah. It's times like this I wish we lived closer, because I'd just come over and we could just sit and watch it together.
Yeah. It's a nightmare.
It's a good time. The country, especially the political arena, has long been a joke, but the fact that we have a vegetable going up against a fake doctor is just real super. I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan. I love the idea that this dude looks like a wish.com kingpin and talks as if he's been hit in the head with a hammer every day since he was a child. And he's running for office, and people are like, "Oh yeah, I support this guy.
That's my guy.
That's a guy I can rally behind. He's going to make a difference." This guy that eats a bowl of paint chips every morning, that's my guy. And then on the flip side, other people go, "Oh, this guy that's been selling essential oils to moms watching daytime TV for the last 15 years, that hasn't lived in the state of Pennsylvania up until he decided he wanted to run for office, and he just bought a house there so he could run. Now he runs for office, and he's supposed to be a man for the people."
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Precisely.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, he's one of the guys that was like hyping up the pieces of quartz that you can stick in your vagina, like Gwyneth Paltrow was. So he's super doctor. I wish.
Yeah,
they should hire him at the VA.
Yeah. If Dr. Oz were a woman, Aaron Rodgers would try and sleep with him.
100%.
That is it. That is an Aaron Rodgers type
100%.
Right,
yeah. I'm just waiting for Dr. Oz to say during the debate that Fetterman's vibration is off. The world moves at a frequency, you know?
Yes.
And your vibration's off, man. That guy is equally as ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like a I mean,
just let it out, man. Just let it out. Let the hate out.
I don't like getting into politics, but it's
you should.
It's very similar to what we went through 2 years ago.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, 100%.
It's right there, man.
Yeah, man.
It's right there.
Coincidentally enough, it's very weird that you can't find fresh produce at the store, but yet there's vegetables in office. Anyway, let's get into this, right? Yeah, let's get into that now. We'll just start everything off with a bang. Just blow it all up, man. Who gives a shit? I got murdered last weekend.
No.
I got murdered last weekend. I'm just going to address the elephant in the room here. I got murdered. I talked a bunch of shit on Beneil Dariush.
Yeah.
Like a bunch. Like in like a like an amount that you just can't, there's no way to walk it back, right? Like I went.
You just take it on the chin and accept. Just admit wrongdoing.
Admit I was wrong. I was wrong. That being said, can I just, I mean, and this isn't like survivor's remorse here. No, this wouldn't even be survivor's remorse. That's the wrong way to say it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Did Beneil look that much better than Gamrot? Like, I know he won the fight. Okay, whatever. And he dropped him in the third round. But like, I thought 30-27 was a bad card.
Yeah.
I thought 30-27 was a bad card, considering from the second and the third round, Dariush didn't take a single step forward. He fought off the back foot. Just my opinion. And again, I don't believe that Gamrot won the fight, so I'm not sitting here making the argument that he did. Initially in my head, I thought it was bullshit, but then I went back, I looked at the stats, I watched the fight again. He lost the fight. I'm wrong. I was wrong. I assessed that fight incorrectly. Was it that wide of a gap, though? Was it a 30-27? You can tell me true.
No, I don't think it was, but the difference between a 30-27 and a 29-28 is nothing. It's still a loss on the card.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Go ahead.
I mean, I don't want to divert away from you.
No, please.
Let's get away from the Gamrot. The real elephant in the room. Yes, you took a big loss this last weekend.
Yeah.
But I think the UFC in general took a big loss.
Hmm.
Because what happened in the Yan O'Malley fight is an absolute joke.
Did you watch it again?
Yes.
So two times you're still
two
on
times,
it?
And I still think Peter Yan won that fight. Okay. Clear cut. Clear cut. And
so
on top of that, we'll go back to the Yan O'Malley, but you tack on top of that, sending TJ Dillashaw out.
I got a whole thing.
It's a
Just wait. Let's do O'Malley Yan first because I can't blend these two together. Okay. All right. I watched O'Malley Yan again.
Okay.
All right. Initially, when it came out, you and I mean, we were watching it live together. I thought atrocious scorecard, right? Like just absolutely bad. I watched it again after having the luxury of reading 78 different pundits' opinions on it and, you know, viewpoints and this, that, and the other, all of that, right? And I was like, all right, let me watch this again. So I watched it again. Yan still fucking won that fight. That was a terrible, terrible card.
Yeah.
It's a terrible card. Now, 30-27, I don't know. Well, like you said, the 7 and 29-28 doesn't matter. Now, that being said, the significant strike advantage through the rounds was on O'Malley. But that did not matter given the nature of the way the rounds played out. I thought one and two were very clearly Yan rounds. And you make the case that O'Malley wins three, but one and two, in my opinion, even though a lot of people said one was a very close round, I thought one and two were clear cut Yan rounds.
I agree.
Clear cut.
I agree. I give one and two Yan, and I say, if you tell me Yan won round three, I say, okay. If you tell me O'Malley won round three, I say, okay.
Yeah.
So at worst, it's a 29-28 in favor of Yan.
I think the difference comes in the damage that was done in round three. O'Malley splitting him open. I think damage does have to account for something. He had more significant strikes landed that round, and he did the damage. So I'll give it to him. It doesn't matter. He lost the first two rounds. You score a fight one round at a time. He lost the first two.
Yeah.
But it was not good. All right. TJ, Aljo. I feel, we'll walk into this one carefully. I feel to an extent for Aljamain Sterling. I kind of feel for the guy a little bit. He won his belt by getting kneed in the face, yawn breaking the rules, right? That's how he won his belt. That's not how he wanted to win the belt, but of course he took it, and that's fine. Okay. He defends the belt.
Successfully.
And you cannot argue he beat Piotr Jan in that fight.
Yes.
But I will say that a title defense where when you're fighting a one-armed man is as impressive as winning your belt by getting kneed in the face while down. That all things level, though, he beat Jan on level ground.
Yes.
So I take that as it's a wash, right? The Jan back and forth now is a wash. My problem is not the Jan O'Malley controversy or anything else that happened. My problem is that TJ Dillashaw had a known injury since April, chose not to get anything sort of treatment done on it, trained through it, made the UFC, the doctors, the athletic commission, and the referees aware of the issue, and they still said, "Let her rip, Tater Chip, and let him go out there and fight." At which point, he immediately got hurt, and it was not competitive at all. It was completely uncompetitive, as it always was going to be. He couldn't even hit mitts. He couldn't spar. What was the expected outcome there? I believe just in a hypothetical world, so that way somebody doesn't take this and like sue me for slander, I believe that the UFC knowingly, there's a probability that the UFC not only willingly knew that, but put him out there in an effort to save or not deteriorate from that card, product be damned.
No, I could agree with that. So now this shoulder, was this, I didn't see it, but I don't follow, you know, as closely as you may or as others may.
Yeah.
Was this just public knowledge? Like, was this known?
No. So there was rumblings of there being something wrong because he was not on the embedded episodes. He did not engage in open workouts. And in the pre-fight presser shakedown thing that they do with the announcing crew, he had let the announcers know that there was a possibility that there was something wrong with him, but he didn't really expound on what. So
why is it that mixed martial arts in general, not just the UFC, but all promotions, why is it not like the rest of the sporting world where this is public knowledge, where these things are released and they're listed almost as like an injury report?
Because this, we have no governing body. So this goes back to,
it's a genuine question.
So this goes back to the same thing with a lot of other things. When you fight for the UFC, Bellator One, you're an employee. You're not an individual contractor. Yes, you're under contract as like a 1099, but the company is owned, the promotion rather is owned as a corporation, or in Zuffa's case, an LLC. Okay. So you are not beholden to an overarching regulatory body. So like NBA, MLB, whatever, there is a oversight of league regulators that are on top of all these things from both the player and the owner's perspective. There's a checks and balances in that regard. The UFC does not have that, right? Like, it's no different than if you and I, let's say you and I own our own trucking company, right?
Right.
And we have guys out on the road driving trucks. It is not necessary for us to let our customers know that the truck driver that's moving their freight may have had a DUI before. There's just no need for that. And it's not that there's nobody telling us we have to. So it sucks. What I find interesting is right before this fight is when the UFC announced that fighters are no longer allowed to bet on mixed martial arts.
Right.
And can't bet on themselves. Because if you're TJ,
you're hammering Aljo.
If you're on TJ's team, you're hammering Aljo.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, you can say, let's just say you're TJ Dillashaw, right? And you get 150 to show, 150 to win. Mm-hmm. Take the 150 mm-hmm. that you're going to get on that show and put it on Aljo.
Yeah.
You've hedged your own loss.
Correct.
You've hedged your own loss. You're going to win it no matter what. I mean, and if you're TJ's team, you do the same thing.
Correct.
I find that all very, very curious.
Mm-hmm.
That came out so right before him, and then Islam won, which
it was
a good, I said this on Twitter, it was a good day for company men. If you're a company guy, that you made out in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
Can we no, they can bet on everything, Angel. They can bet on everything.
The ability to bet on everything is just super shady.
Well, I'm not saying TJ is the reason for this, but the reason,
right?
The person that contributed this most is fucking James Krause.
Yeah,
like if you're a fighter, James Krause messed this up for the rest of you. Like James Krause did this. James Krause literally want. So there, dude. This is a whole big murky thing. The conflict of interest that exists between the UFC, DraftKings, and James Krause, and then all of those things individually, apart from one another, it's such a conflict of interest. It's unbelievable. Like it's the UFC should not be sponsored by DraftKings for starters, because the UFC knowingly had a fighter with an injury that they let walk to the octagon and was partnered with a sportsbook that took action on that fighter.
Correct.
That is a big massive, guy. Massive conflict of interest.
Yeah.
The flip side of that is James Krause is employed by the UFC to talk about betting lines and make betting recommendations for fights, including fighters that he coaches, that he then offers up the same betting lines that are available through the sponsors of the UFC. Again, massive conflict of interest. That is just, I'm not saying it's criminal, but I don't understand the law well enough, but that seems like there's a whole lot of shade right there.
Yeah.
So,
and then you have Calvin Ridley, who gets suspended an entire season for betting $1,500 total on his team to win when he's not even on the field.
Correct.
It's just, it makes no sense to me. None at all. But like you said, it goes the whole way back to the governing body, and that all makes sense now.
So, that being said, can we talk about Sean Brady getting knocked out?
No, I don't want to talk about it.
It was a bad stoppage. Can we say it was a bad stoppage? Sean Brady's not arguing the stoppage, though. But I thought it was a bad stoppage, because I was on Sean Brady.
Bad stoppage. Do I think he gets out of that? Do I think that...
Well, there's like 10 seconds left in the round, right?
Right. It's a long 10 seconds.
Hell yeah, when you're getting battered. Yeah.
But even coming out off the stool after the minute he gets, dude, do I think that Sean Brady recovers and wins that fight? No, I don't. No. But it's still, you still have, it's still a bad stoppage. You're going to stop it standing strikes?
All right. A little bit of shit talk here. What is more unimpressive? Sean Brady getting rocked and finished while standing by Bilal, or Bilal being unable to sit Sean Brady down while he's essentially just sitting there taking every shot he throws.
Yeah.
Which one's more unimpressive?
I'm going to say Bilal's inability to finish Sean Brady there, because Sean, the fight getting stopped was out of Sean Brady's hands.
Mm, okay. Yeah, I mean, I'll go with Bilal too. I mean, well, because it's getting punched in the face, right? You get punched in the face, ear, whatever. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's a grown-ass man punching you in the face. He hits you right. You mm-hmm. get your bell rung. But the fact that you had him essentially dead to rights, he's standing there.
Couldn't finish
him. You couldn't set him down. Yeah. You had to have that little weird goblin coming in and wave the fight off. That was more unimpressive. Yeah, I'll go with that. All right. UFC Vegas 63 takes place this Saturday. We've got another early card. Main event is really? Kicking. Yeah, kick. Well, not early like Abu Dhabi early, but the main event, like the main card starts at 7.
Okay.
So a bow will be tied up and ready to go on this thing by 10. We'll be out the door. Had a slew of cancellations. So if we go over a fight that's been canceled or moved or has a different opponent, too bad, so sad. Save your comments to yourself. I don't give a shit about it. Keep switching stuff up on me. They had two fights just added today. Was it Moda and Durden fight? And then there was another one that was added. Weems and Christian Rodriguez. I don't have odds for those, and we're not talking about them. So,
Fetterman won.
Forget the fight. You know what? The bullshit. So for those of you just listening, chat says Fetterman won. That was always going to be the play. The bar is set so low for candidates anymore, and in particular Democratic candidates. All they have to do is be able to stay standing, and people are like, oh, that's the one. That's the one. And then if it's not it, anybody that says anything different, they'll be like, oh, QAnon, Christian nationalist, right-wing conspiracy theory. Blah. It's literally anybody that watches that and thinks that dude is mentally competent enough to hold an office. I can't help you with that. I don't know what to do with you. You're an intelligent guy, Brian. You know that guy's not fit to do anything. He can't even tie his shoes. And that was before the stroke. All right. you know what we didn't say? Producer Jake is back. Those of you who think that that this has just been running solo and that's why it's been off the rails for the last few weeks, you're right, because Producer Jake hasn't been here, but he's here now.
He's back.
So if things get really weird and stupid now, it's because that's just what. Producer Jake's here, so we're glad to have him back. He's ripping. He's token up in the background. He's having a grand old time. I love Producer Jake. I really wish Dale was drinking. He's very close to going down a route. Listen, I will. I don't need alcohol to go down a rabbit hole. If you put me at the edge, and I'll jump in. It doesn't matter. P.S. Vapor rub on the feet works. Had to try it this week, and it saved me.
Man.
Bro, I told you.
No, I looked.
I know you looked it up.
All made sense medically. It does. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, you're damn right. It makes sense. You're damn right. All right, let's get after it.
Yeah.
First fight on the main card, if I am not mistaken, is going to be. Shit, I had it pulled up. Hold on. We're at 11 fights. If I'm not mistaken, it's Dustin Jacoby versus Khalil Roundtree. Roundtree at 10-5, Dustin Jacoby at 18-5. If it's not, that's the one we're running with anyway. It doesn't matter. Jacoby minus 180, Roundtree plus 140, over under rounds, 2.5. You and I both have strong feelings about these guys. This is a thing. So I'll let you go first.
I like Khalil Roundtree in this fight.
You're so fucking foolish. I knew you were going to hit me with some bullshit. I knew it. I could tell.
I could tell. So he had his little spatter where he lost two or three in a row, but he's turned it around, man. He's looked impressive so far.
No.
Yeah. I like Khalil Roundtree, especially if Jacoby, if this fight stays standing, it's going to play to all of Roundtree's strengths. And I like Khalil Roundtree in this fight.
Bullshit.
Yes.
You're out of your mind.
No, I'm not.
Okay. All right. So let's address this real quick. Do you have anything else to say about this? Sorry, I don't want to talk on top of you.
No, and I also like the under 2.5.
Okay. That I can get more on board with. But let me tell you why you're wrong about everything else.
No, go ahead. Just like I was wrong about the over 2.5 in the Uzdemir fight.
Bro, did you watch the first round of that fight? The first round of that fight, so first of all, the ceremonial weigh-ins and the actual weigh-ins, and they put those dudes against each other, and I'm like, this fucking bet's going to lose. There's no way this thing goes over 2.5. And then I'm looking into it a little bit more, and I'm like, Nikita Krylov's got 40-plus fights, only 10 of which have ever made it past the first round. There's just no way this is going to go 2.5. And then for the first 5 minutes, they decided to try to kill each other, and I'm watching it going, this fucking bet's dead in the water. And then second round happens and they're both exhausted. And I was like, oh, we got it made in the shade. There we go.
Just completely right, gassed.
Perfect. Completely gassed. And then it was all downhill from there. I didn't win a single other bet. So it's good. All right. Khalil Roundtree.
Mm-hmm.
Beat Carl Roberson. He beat Carl Roberson bad. Like Carl Roberson had said something about his mom. Like that was a bad beating. Yeah. And then he pulled a blood sport on Modestus Bukauskas' knee in Fight Island. So that was cool. I really love that Khalil Roundtree did that, right? Like stomped on Bukauskas' knee. And then not only did it just destroy Bukauskas' knee, they cut him afterwards too.
Ruined his career.
He's getting ready to fight, I think, for Cage Warriors or some English promotion. He's getting ready to fight.
Ruined his career.
Or he just fought. Well, I mean, it's where he started. He'll come back. if he's good enough, he'll come back. And I love that. Nothing like getting your legs stomped out and then getting cut. That being said, Dustin Jacoby, I vehemently disagree with the idea that if the fight is standing, that plays it plays to Roundtree's strength, but he does not have the advantage while standing because Dustin Jacoby is a world champion kickboxer.
Correct. I wasn't saying that Roundtree has the advantage standing.
Right. I know that's why I slowed down.
Right.
Because
right.
I realized I was about to say something that you did not say.
Correct.
If it stays standing, Jacoby is, it's his world. That being said, I hate guys that are on long win streaks. And Dustin Jacoby has won, 8 in a row? 7 in a row?
7 or 8.
That's a lot at light heavyweight. That's a whole lot. And he's taking on Khalil. Khalil looks good. I think that Khalil needs to feel confident in who he's up against. And I don't necessarily know that Khalil looks at a stat sheet and goes, guy's a world champion kickboxer. He's on a 7-fight win streak. He's looked absolutely untouchable lately. He trains at altitude. He's got one of the best gyms in the world. He's supremely confident. I'm going to beat this guy. I think that Roundtree needs to see some sort of flaw in your game where he can get himself into the point where he thinks he can win the fight. The guy's openly admitted he's a head case. I can't bet on him. On Jacoby here.
You know what that means?
What?
What do you call it? The people's main event?
You want to do a people's main event right now? There might be something else that we disagree on more than this.
I don't think there's going to be, but sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead. Okay. We'll see what else is out there. All right. Yeah. I bet you there's going to be something else we disagree on more than this. I have a feeling. I've got a feeling. Let's see. What do we got next, Jake? Is it Trayshawn Gore versus Josh Freemd? I believe it is. Trayshawn Gore, 3-2. He's blistering, man. I freaking love that. Love that Bellator record taking on Josh Freemd at 9-3. Josh is at a -185. Trayshawn at a +145 over in rounds of 2.5. I don't think you know either one of these guys, do you?
No, I know who Josh Freemd is. His nickname's the Big Yins. I know who he is.
Okay.
He's from a Berg.
We're on him, right? We have to.
Oh, absolutely.
Just because he's a Berg guy.
Absolutely.
So Treshawn Gore is going to, I mean, okay. So that being said, analyze what was just said there. We're literally betting based on geographic location, not based on skill. Okay. My problem with Treshawn Gore is mostly aesthetics. I don't particularly love how he just relies on his explosiveness to win fights. Additionally, physiologically, it's not a good look for him. Very small chin, very large head. It just doesn't bode well for impact, right? Coming off a loss to Cody Brundage. I like Cody Brundage, but in that fight, I did not believe that to be very competitive. And then he got slept by Cody Brundage. So getting knocked out by Cody Brundage does not bode well for you against a guy. Bode well for you. There you go. Again, there you go. Thank you. Like a guy like Josh Frim, who unanimous decision lost to Anthony Hernandez, which fucking Anthony Hernandez, I mean, the truth, man.
Yeah.
Future of the division. So,
mm-hmm.
I won't say anything negative about him. So, we on the big yins?
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. Let's get after it. Let's see here. Jared Vanderaa taking on Waldo. No. Is it Waldo Cortez Acosta? Acosta Cortez. Well, I can't tell with these three name fuckers, man. It don't even make sense. It doesn't matter. If you've got three names, you either need to be a fighter or assassinate a president. That's the only reason to have three names.
Or. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or someone who assassinated a president.
Yeah. That's what I said. You a fighter or a guy or somebody who assassinated a president.
Okay. Yeah. I thought you said assassinated president. And I was thinking, JFK. Okay. But Lincoln. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
What was Lincoln's third name?
It wasn't.
Oh, okay.
There wasn't one.
Yeah. That being said, I guess maybe what's your feeling about dudes that take, or rather a guy that gets married to a chick? Hold on. Let me finish.
It takes her last name.
No, that's not the way I was going to go with this. Okay, right. It's not the way I was going to go. They get married and she keeps her last name and hyphens to his.
It depends. Okay.
Okay.
So where I see this acceptable, as well as not taking the last name at all, is if, depending on her profession, if she's already built, a successful business, or she's already recognized by her last name, i.e. a doctor, like doctors, I fully understand, or a lawyer. I fully understand not taking the last name of your spouse.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I mean, because they're recognized as Dr. So-and-so and then they get married. Yeah. I completely understand that.
Okay.
Why?
Now, what about a dude that takes it? Well, I'm just wondering. I've always just been.
Did this dude take his wife's last hyphen with his wife's last name?
No, I have no fucking clue who this guy is. I have no. Jared Vanderaa's 12-9 as a professional. I cannot bet on him at all, even as a heavyweight. He's terrible.
What the fuck on?
What?
Brian says he feels like I get bullied on here.
I don't feel like that way at all. Do you feel bullied?
I don't feel bullied.
That's good. You shouldn't. am I steamrolling you?
No.
Okay.
No.
You're damn right. I'm not. Do something about it.
But anyway, back to this fight. I like the over 1.5.
These big boys.
These are big boys.
Fuck it. Let it run. Who cares?
They're big boys.
Who cares? They're real but big.
This is if it gets out of the first round.
It's an even money, though. We're actually over 1.5 at -130.
Okay. What's the fight to go to the decision?
Okay. Let me look.
All right. I don't want to get too frisky. I do like over 1.5 in this fight.
Fight goes to decision +175.
Didn't Vandera just go into the third round with Chase Sherman?
Vandera. And yes, he lost in the third round to Chase Sherman.
Yeah.
and then he got crushed by Alexei Oleinik. Split decision to Andre Arlovsky, round two with Romanov, round two with Spivak.
It's just,
you know what?
That's a lock.
Here's the thing, right? You stumbled into this, but we'll run with this. Lost to Chase Sherman in the third round. Okay. Split decision loss to Arlovsky, and then a round two loss to Alexander Romanov, and a round two loss to Sergei Spivak. Let's let it ride for a round and a half and see what happens.
Yeah.
I was not going to touch this fight at all, but you've now.
I bullied you into it.
You bullied me into it. Fuck. Damn it. I'm not going to say that. All right. Co-main event of the evening. Tim Means, Max Griffin. Max Griffin at a minus 180. Tim Means, the Dirty Bird, plus 155. Over on our rounds is at 2.5. I've been excited for this fight since they announced it.
Yes.
I've been very excited for this fight since they announced it. I'll let you go first, man.
Give me the wily vet who's not amazing at anything.
But good at all.
Good at everything. If Tim Means can survive the pressure in the first round, give me Tim Means to win this fight at a plus 155.
Yeah. I struggle with this fight because I go back and forth a lot. And I'm not going to say anything that either one of these parties are not aware of here is that I think Max Griffin is probably, which is weird because Max and I are the exact same age, like the exact same age, born on the same day, the same year. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's weird, right? Yeah. So the fact that, in my opinion, that Max Griffin is at like he's probably the best he's ever been. Like he consistently looks better every time we see him. Seems weird because I feel like I get worse every day I wake up. So I applaud him for that. I think you hit the nail on the head. Tim Means is going to have to survive for a little bit, right? One of the interesting things that sticks out to me about this fight, even though he talked shit on him whenever he came on the show the first time, Max has switched up and gone over to Team Alpha Male and is putting in the work with those guys there. So I wonder if it gives him a new feather in his cap or a new card to play when it comes against a guy like Tim Means. Do we feel like we don't want to stand at range and trade with Tim? Do we want to push him against the cage? Do we want to grind him? Do we want to make it ugly? Because if you give Tim Means space to operate, things get dicey. Like he loves to throw that snap kick up the middle. He loves to use that jab. He loves extending combinations. The Dirty Bird can scrap right now. He gets hit a lot. And as he gets older, he does not like, I don't want to say he doesn't like getting hit. Nobody likes getting hit. He doesn't respond well to getting cracked. And like we saw in the Neil Magny fight, Max can crack even later on into the fight. I would like to see him use that grinding, like make this ugly. I would make this fight ugly. I would not go out there and try to make this a kickboxing match with Tim Means.
Correct.
If he does, I think it favors Tim Means. I just skill for skill, experience for experience. I think it favors him. The power advantage is Max. The knockout power advantage is Max's. I don't necessarily know who I would say has a slicker submission game. I think this fight is a lot closer to a pick'em than the line indicates. So from a betting perspective, handicapping this, I handicap it as a pick'em. So the fact that I can get Tim Means at plus money would lead me to bet Tim Means.
Correct.
So, but skill for skill, this is good matchmaking. I said it the other day. I'll say it again. The UFC's done a better job the last like 6 months or so at giving us good matchmaking. It was getting really shoddy there for a while. Better matchmaking, better pizza, Papa John's. This is good. I handicapped it when it first came out as a pick'em. Tim Means at plus 155. I mean, just it's simple mathematics from a betting perspective. I'll go Tim Means at plus 155.
Yeah.
Now,
to take away from who Max has fought, but Tim Means' experience with the gauntlet that he has run through in his career also comes into play here.
I mean, I think this,
now, they have fought a lot of similar guys.
Right.
But I agree with you on the pick'em standpoint. So you go for value and you look at it as you're taking, you know, you're getting an advantageous line. So plus 155, Tim Means. I'm with you on it.
It seems weird because, like I said, I think Max is getting better each time we see him out. Let's put it this way. I think Max has a better chance of finishing this fight than Tim Means does. I think if Tim wins, it would have to be a later finish or a decision. I think Max could finish it at any time, really. I mean, he hits hard.
All right, just give me Tim Means round three sub. All
right. Tim Means round one. Let me pull the lineup. Let's see what we got.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know. Dude. Like 67 different. Let's see here. Let's see. Give me Tim Means in
plus 4,200. That's my guess.
You're on. No, it's Tim Means by sub in round three plus 5,500.
Yeah.
What did we do last week? Chookagian in round two?
Yeah, Chook in round two.
That was another 30-27 card. Did you feel like she lost that fight 30-27?
No.
I didn't think so either.
And for it to be 30-27 across the board, no.
Yeah, like it was like all three judges, 30. Yeah. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
I don't know about that, man.
No, me neither. Not that a 29-28 would have changed the result.
It would not have changed it, but I just feel like at a certain point, man. Golly. All right, cool. Yeah. Main event of the evening. Calvin Kattar, plus 100, taking on Arnold Allen, minus 120, over under on rounds 4.5 here.
I really, really like what the public's doing here. The money is coming in on Arnold Allen, and thank you, public, for putting your money on Arnold Allen. Keep doing it because, give me Calvin Kattar at plus money here.
Yeah. So I have two plans of attack here. I'm going to lock a Kattar slip in at this lower plus money. And then just in case, for some reason, you know, the mob bosses in New England come in and start hammering Kattar, which they should be smart enough not to, but you never know. And that line starts to move. I don't want to miss out on an opportunity at plus money on Kattar here. So I'm on, again, before we get into like the nuts and bolts of this thing, from a betting perspective, if you're handicapping this fight, getting Kattar at plus money, please and thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So
yeah,
nuts and bolts of it though. Calvin Kattar's got 12. He's got to survive against the gorilla that is Arnold Allen for about 12 minutes.
Yeah.
If he can do that.
When he gets into the championship rounds.
Yes.
That's where Kattar's experience kicks in.
Yes.
I mean, he's gone 25 minutes in four of his last five fights.
He's a monster, man. He's so good.
Yeah, dude. He's gone the distance, and Arnold Allen has not.
Right.
I think that's going to play a huge role. Arnold Allen cannot try to stand there and exchange with Calvin Kattar.
Correct.
Bad time. Because we know Kattar's got a chin. Arnold Allen, how are the hands?
I mean, that's pretty good.
I mean, he's hurt his hands.
You're talking about health-wise, how are they?
Yeah, gotcha. Physically.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
No, I'm almost as confident in this as I was in TJ with two shoulders.
With two shoulders. Two-shoulder TJ is a mythical fighter. We'll add him to the list of mythical fighters. You've got 12 minutes to survive against Arnold Allen, that silverback gorilla, that white gorilla. If you're Arnold Allen, you need to use your physicality right off the rip. So, I was talking to a guy earlier today. If you're Calvin Kattar, you need to minimize damage for the first 12 minutes. you need to keep the nose healthy, and you've got to not expend too much energy trying to survive in those first 12 minutes. Like, you've got to stay relatively, not unscathed, but you can't kill yourself trying to stay alive for 12 minutes against Arnold Allen. You've got to find that balance, right? Like, hit cruise control, put it at 65, you know, where you can see trouble coming, but also make progress. That's what you need. And you got to keep the nose healthy. You got to keep the nose healthy. You cannot have that thing busted up or it's going to shut shit down again. Play with the gas tank, hands drop, the whole nine. New England cartel as a whole, those boys need a win, and they need one bad. Calvin's never lost two in a row in his career. And like you said, championship rounds, four out of the last five. I think he should be on a win streak right now, because I thought he beat Josh Emmett, and I like Josh, and I thought he beat Josh. I really do. I thought he beat Josh Emmett. I think that was a bit of a gift there in the Emmett decision. So I wouldn't want to fight Calvin in this spot. No. He sees Arnold Allen and goes, that guy's on a not eight, nine fight win streak. Cool. Cool. Let me show everybody that I'm not that far off the, you know, the pecking order here. And let me go out there and get a win. Now, Arnold Allen on the flip side of that says, Calvin Kattar is a guy that was fighting for a number one contender spot. If I dust him in likely fashion, I will put myself right there in the heap. I mean, fuck, you gave me Arnold Allen versus Max Holloway in July.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
March.
Yeah.
Give me a little MLK day, freaking Max Holloway, Arnold Allen. Let's go, baby.
Yeah. And what you said, like, you know, all the stipulations of what Kattar needs to do would be a tall task for anybody else.
Not him, though. Right.
But not him. I mean, he, dude, Josh Emmett, Max Holloway, Danny Ige, who do you fight? Oh, Zabit.
Yep.
Moicano, Shane Burgos. I mean, he's fought high level competition. And I like Kattar at plus money here a lot.
I think the thing is too is the unknown, right? The unknown versus the known. The known is, with the exception of the Max Holloway fight, Kattar gets stronger and better as the fight goes on, and he is in it till the very end, and he's got the dog in him. Like, nobody's gonna say Calvin Kattar doesn't have the dog in him. Like, I don't honestly know if you can make a better argument for somebody that's gonna fight for your money on the entire roster than Calvin Kattar, because he got the shit kicked out of him for 25 minutes for Max Holloway and never stopped walking forward.
Correct.
Like, just never stop. Like, I'm just going to keep coming forward. It doesn't matter. I'm coming forward. He gets better as the fight goes on. I don't want to say Arnold Allen is incapable of doing that. We just have not seen it. So I will bet on what is most likely to happen versus what I think might happen. So Kattar for a strong 25 gets my money. Plus money at that. So I'm on Kattar here.
446 significant strikes is absorbed. What Max landed on him.
Absorbed.
Dude, 446.
Do you think, you're a scrappy guy, do you think in your life you've been hit in the head 446 times?
No. 446, that's
your whole life, though?
In my whole life. Have I been hit in the face 446 times?
Totally. Well, about your face, your head, your head and face area, yeah.
Nah, dude, that's a lot.
Yeah, you have. There's no way. I've hit you in the face close to that.
That's a lot, man.
I mean, maybe not full contact punches. I don't know. Well, I mean...
And the majority of the fights I've been in my life, I'm not an idiot.
Yeah, but
so I don't stand there and throw hands.
I understand.
I'm a very, very low center of gravity kind of guy, and I use that to my advantage, and everything goes down. Everything goes down to the ground.
I'm saying, like, so, you did your McMap.
Oh, buddy.
And yeah. I know you guys get after it, McMap. You don't think you were total that time? You don't think over all your McMap, you don't think you were hit in the head 446 times?
Maybe with a pugil stick.
Yeah,
maybe.
Got that jab.
Got that Pugel stick jab right there.
Producer Jake is fucking disgusted in the back right now. He does not agree with this at all. Producer Jake, you've been hitting the head 446 times or no? He says no, not at all.
No, dude, 446 is a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah.
That's a lot.
Well, reminds me of that song.
He says maybe 100 tops, and I think I might agree with that.
Jeez, oh man. 100 tops? I need a point of reference here. I just need a point of reference because I don't feel like that's a lot over the course of your life in one fight. Of course it is. It's a murder in the course of one fight, but I'm talking about over the course of your life to get hit in and about the face and head of 446 times. I don't think so.
Maybe. I took a 9.5 degree driver to the face 2 weeks ago when I took my son golfing.
Yeah, that's true. You did. That's true. That's like worth like five, I think. I think some of them count as five.
Yeah, dude, that hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, just square.
Yeah, it's good.
Bent down, teeing the ball up for him, told him to swing hard. It's the last hole. He's two. And I gave him my driver, and he swung hard and hit me square in the face.
Yeah. I mean, what people need to understand, too, is you guys are so close to being the same size, he didn't even have to choke up on the club. He literally was just holding it at the grip. Yeah.
That's a good point.
Those of you that never played golf with Soup, if you've ever seen, like, the little putt-putt guy that sits at the end of the putt-putt or at the end of the putter and you can kind of click it and it hits the ball, very, very close.
Yeah.
Very close. We should get those, by the way. You know where you can get those at?
No, but I have seen videos of them. They do look pretty cool.
They are pretty. They're fucking sweet, man. I need one of those. Yeah. Let's do this. If we can find them, I'll buy you one for Christmas. You get me one for Christmas.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
So why don't you just buy yourself one and I'll buy myself one?
Because that's not how it works. Like, think about it. When you first started dating the wife, right? You know, you're like, let's go out. We'll keep it amicable. I'll pay for you. You pay for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That way we're both doing the thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And nobody feels like any one person has the advantage. Or were you like straight Andrew Tate right off the rip? Like, listen, I'm the man, I'm paying, and that's the end of it.
No.
Top G.
No.
No? You weren't like that?
No.
You gave her the choice?
Yeah.
Good for you, man.
So listen, I know you don't watch hockey.
I love hockey. What are you talking about?
Okay. Do you know who Darnell Nurse is?
For sure. I know every dude named Darnell.
Darnell Nurse is a light-skinned Andrew Tate. You got to look him up, man.
Andrew Tate is light-skinned.
Right. But this
you're a light-skinned Andrew Tate because you're lighter than Andrew Tate.
This
producer Jake, pull him up. That's why you're here. Give me Darnell Nurse on the screen. Who is this guy?
Get Darnell Nurse on the screen.
Who is this guy? Why should I care who Darnell Nurse is? He just looks like Andrew Tate or he talks like him or what's the deal?
No, he does.
Both?
No, he looks like him.
Okay. All right. Let me see. Here we go. Oh, yeah. Producer Jake's a little rusty on the clicks here.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. He's staring. Oh, here we go. Oh, he does kind of look like Andrew Tate, doesn't he? He does. Darnell Nurse. Look at that.
Jake, close out of your grinder tab.
What the fuck? What's wrong with his face? Did he get hit with bleach or what's his deal? Seriously, is that my screen messed up or does he have the light of the Lord on his eyebrow all the time? What is that? Why is his face all messed up?
I don't know. It could be a scar.
That's weird. You call him light skin, but he literally has white skin. Like that's Michael Jackson? No. No, it's not it. The Bold and the Beautiful spoilers. For those of you, Jake's most recently viewed thing was Bold and the Beautiful spoilers. Jake, you might want to just close down the screen share, bud. Things are going to get dicier for you the more you type into Google. The Bold and the Beautiful spoilers. What the hell? You know what? No judgment here. No, I've watched Gilmore Girls, so no judgment. I appreciate you pulling up Darnell Nurse. Oh, here we go. He's going back to it again.
I mean, you could probably, I'm sure there's a side by side if you type in Andrew Tate, Darnell Nurse.
I doubt. I mean, it's something we can make up on our own. We're at an hour here.
Okay. But yeah, longest neck in the league. Yes.
Longest neck in the league.
Yeah. Yeesh. Not like for those of you who know Mike Glennon, not Mike Glennon.
Oh, Mike Glennon, the giraffe, bro. That dude's neck is long, man.
He makes that long neck kid on TikTok.
Bro.
Look like he's got a short neck.
Is there something wrong with that kid? Medically speaking, you're a merce. Is there something medically wrong with him?
Like mentally?
Speculatively. I don't care.
Just yeah, probably.
Something wrong with him.
There's a lot of drugs involved.
And what from like the parents while pregnant?
Plus afterwards, I'm pretty sure. If I'm a betting guy, which I am, I'm going to say he's not sober.
Yeah, but there's no drugs that make your neck long, is there?
Maybe.
Bro, inject it right into my... You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My nipples. All right, here we go. Let's... Chase Hooper taking on Steve Garcia. Steve Garcia 12-5. Chase Hooper at 11-2. Over on around 2.5 here, Super.
Real quick, I have a question for you now that you bring up nipples.
Yeah, man.
Would you rather have a dick the size of a nipple or your nipples be the size of a dick?
Whose dick? Whose dick?
Would you rather have
that's the
nipples?
No.
A nipple shaped dick.
No. Well, that's if it's the shape, but they're the same size, it doesn't matter. Because I mean, you know as well as I do, nipples are like snowflakes. God made them all unique, right? So like, if you have a nipple that is regular nipple size but shaped phallically, I'll take that all day. But if I have a nipple that is the size of a penis, I need to know whose penis it's the size of.
OG Mudbone.
No, man, I can't do it. I don't know who that is, but the fact that you just. The fact that it's like the OG in the name of it would lead me to believe that it's not something I'd want. I don't really, yeah, I can't. I because all right, I mean,
Jake, bring up OG Mudbone.
No. We don't need that. No. Let's not pull that one up. I would just no, dude. Because no, man, I'm still a man. And I have duties to perform. I can't do that with a nipple, man. I can't do that with a nipple between my legs. I can't do it. You gotta give me something to work with, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's just a question, just a thought.
Otherwise you turn into, Michael Douglas, you know, having Michael Douglas.
What happened to Michael Douglas?
He got throat cancer.
Did he?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. From eating out Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Are these directly linked?
Yes.
Like, yes. Positive?
Allegedly. No, not allegedly. So, I'm not a learned doctor, but there's some sort of compound in the vaginal juices that consumed en masse over prolonged periods of time will give you cancer, in particular mouth, throat, or nose cancer, or like fate, whatever. It will give it to you. It'll give you cancer. And since Douglas and Zeta Jones have been married for eons, and he has it, and I think he said in an interview,
she has HPV. So yeah, it makes sense.
Okay.
Not to cut you short. Yeah. So yeah. If she has HPV, yes, it can cause throat cancer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. That's so rough.
I'm not on my Michael Douglas. I'm going to go ahead and not need my nipples to be, I'll go with the dick nipples. Is that the dude, Jake? That guy? Oh, that's not him. Okay.
Different guy.
Okay.
Different guy.
Yeah. I'm not good here. Jake, you can always just hop in here and say what you need to say as opposed to pointing at our screens. No, he's good with it. All right, cool. Chase
OG
Hooper.
OG Mudbone's gone.
Okay.
To history.
Okay.
It's replaced by that guy. I can't find anything on
him. Yeah, OG Mudbone used to put out adult content.
Yeah, I would assume
it's where it was like...
Oh, maybe on like...
It was like a fake... Pretty sure it was like a fake mechanical... penis that it looked like it shot out gallons of milk.
Oh,
disgusting. Like, awful.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Jake, yes, Jake is real.
Yeah. All right, Jake. There you go. Yeah. I love, here's the thing too, is that like for the longest time, people like if you, depending on when you come in on the show, people believe that Jake is Peter, like Bob Menery's Peter. You know what I mean? Like nobody believes that he's actually real there. You would not believe it, by the way, this thing goes off the rails and barely works. There is somebody behind the scenes helping this out.
Yeah.
He does a great job, Ben. He does a great job. All right. Guy who loves beer, Jake, how many bong hits are you right now? He's not. He's got the pen in his hand, and it's a lot. So, Chase Hooper, Steve Garcia, do you have anything about this? I like under 2.5 here.
Yeah.
I like Chase Hooper as well.
What's the odds on the under 2.5? It's got to be minus. You're not going to get that at plus money, I doubt.
Yeah, let's see. Chase Hooper, Steve Garcia, under 2.5 is at a minus 150.
Okay, yeah. That's fine.
I'm cool with playing that.
Yeah.
Right. It doesn't need to be more than that. I mean, do you take this? I mean, Hooper's going to win by sub, right? He's not knocking him out.
No, and I don't think we need to chase any crazy plus money play. Okay. Take the minus 150. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Joseph Holmes taking on Jungyoung Park. Park at 14-5. Joseph Holmes at 8-2, rather, not 18-2, the Iron Turtle. I mean, with the name like the Iron Turtle, Jake, get the right odds up there. With a name like the Iron Turtle, how do you not Park and Holmes? There you go. Minus 250 Holmes, plus 185. It's supposed to be plus 185 on Holmes here. I wrote that. It's that one's my mistake. Jeez,
we got two favorites here.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Holmes is the plus 185 underdog here. Over under on rounds is at 2.5. Iron Turtle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of these fights are really kind of unplayable. I you really have to be degenerate to get on the action here on some of these. Andre Arlovsky taking on Marcos Rogério de Lima. De Lima at 19-8-1. Your boy Andre Arlovsky, 34-20. Now. You say whatever you want about this fight, but don't you dare call our Andre Arlovsky chinny, because he's not anymore.
He's not anymore.
Thank you. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I don't want to pick a fighter here.
Ooh.
Because I don't want to pick against Arlovsky.
Yeah, man.
But based off of his recent performances he's put out there, how do you not side with the over 2.5 here?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's been decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it weird that it's 2022 and Andre Arlovsky has won 4 in a row?
No, I mean, not really.
I mean, he's
just one of those
timeless.
Guys.
He's timeless.
Yeah.
I mean,
I miss the days of him fighting every 3 months. Fighting Tim Sylvia over and over and over and over again.
Dude, from 2016 to 2019, he lost 8 out of 10.
But he's a guy that you can't cut him from the promotion.
I mean, 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10's bad.
Yeah. And then has won 6 out of his last 8. I don't know how you don't take a stab on Arlovsky. I mean, you have to, right? Plus money. Dude, Arlovsky at plus money is like the new Neil Magny.
Arlovsky by decision.
Arlovsky by decision. Let me look and see what it is.
He's not going to finish him.
You don't think?
Nah,
no. You're probably right. Here's what the only way
he wins this fight is by decision.
Dude, on a card this fucking shallow, why can we not get Andre Arlovsky on the main card?
Like, yeah.
Come on, man. Arlovsky by decision plus 275.
Yeah.
I hate to play anything by decision. I absolutely hate it.
Okay, then just take Arlovsky.
It seems like Jake's legit got Pornhub pulled up behind us here. He can't help himself.
Just take Arlovsky. Two different plays. Take Arlovsky and take the over 2.5.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
So then if he loses a decision.
Don't do it,
Jake.
Jake, you got to close that out, man. I can't.
Don't do it.
I mean, dead serious. You can see in the background, Jake had some chick get piped down in a little blacked out, like faded out screen. We can't do that.
By OG Mudbone.
Okay. Well, thank you. Phil Haas taking on Roman Dolidze. Dolidze is your underdog here, Soup. Give me the odds, Jake, for Dolidze versus Haas. The wheels have just, we're done here. We're just going to get, we're almost done. Dolidze plus 150, Haas minus 185. Over on rounds is at 2.5. How do you feel money play? Because I feel like I like him here. I'm not sold on Phil Haas at all. I don't like him.
Yeah, but he beat one of your least favorite people in the entire promotion.
Does that mean my enemy and my friend?
Exactly.
Come on.
I mean, anybody who takes down a Dawkins brother.
It's hard for me to, doing the Lord's work. You're doing the Lord's work by snuffing out a Dawkins. So in that instance, I thank you for your service, Phil Haas. But, dude, you've got the alt. Dude, you literally have the kid. Okay, so let me ask you this.
Okay.
Are you a karma guy?
No.
You're not a karma guy.
No, I don't believe in karma, jinxing. I don't believe in luck. I don't believe in any of that.
No luck?
Not really. Okay. I don't believe that somebody can be luckier than somebody else.
That's weird for you to say, considering everybody that knows you
considers me the luckiest person.
The luckiest person they know. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So yeah, Austin already knows. Are you aware? Are you aware of this saga, the Roman Dolidze saga? Are you?
Who, me?
Yes, you.
No. Sorry.
Oh, okay. So you remember Cheyenne Bays or Buys?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, she goes by Vilsmis now because she ran away to Georgia with Roman Dolidze. Yeah. Dolidze is a home wrecker. Exactly right. Adam says home wrecker. Dolidze did not know how to window shop. So he took it.
Yeah.
He took it. So my question then becomes, do you think that there might be some karmic justice that takes place here? I'm wondering how it has been determined that Roman Dolidze needs to be this sizable of an underdog against a guy like Phil Haas. That's what I can't wrap my head around. Make me understand this from a Vegas perspective. Because Phil Haas, while yes, he is 12-3, has not shown himself to be wildly consistent. In fact, he is, got knocked out by Chris Curtis and he beat Daron Wynn, but I mean, Daron Wynn is 5'1.5", right? Like he's not good. What are we seeing here? A win over a Dawkins brother, beating Daron Wynn, getting knocked out by Chris Curtis, and then you've got Roman Dolidze, who's 10-1, who also has killed the same Dawkins brother. A win over Loriano Steropoli, John Allen, Ketus Abrigamov, not any better level of competition. But what makes Phil Haas such a decided favorite here?
I don't know.
So I have to go Roman.
I like Phil Haas in the fight.
Yeah. All right. So you on Roman Dolidze here?
Sure.
All right. Sounds good. Sounds good.
Yeah. I don't have an argument otherwise.
Okay.
So
do you want to go under 2.5 here? Because these guys are big and they swing hard. Let's go under 2.5.
Okay.
Can we do that?
Why not?
All right. Well, I guess there's nobody saying we can't. Under 2.5 is at a minus 140.
Okay.
All right. So the only fight we disagree on is the first fight.
Khalil Roundtree
and Dustin Jacoby.
Yeah.
Okay. So for all intents and purposes, that'll be the people's main event.
Agreed.
You're doing this fucking weird thing again. I don't understand what you're doing. I don't
Khalil Roundtree.
You're just acting like you're from the X-Files. I don't get it. Why are you doing this?
Khalil Roundtree by Murda.
So you think he's going to knock out Dustin Jacoby?
No.
Okay.
Murder.
Well, okay. So you think he's going to murk? Okay. Oh, man. All right.
He's going to murk him.
All right. Give me your money line leans. All right.
Go.
Doesn't necessarily have to be reflective. Hooper, Garcia.
Hooper.
Same. Holmes, Park.
Park.
I'm on Park as well. DeLima, Arlovsky.
Arlovsky.
I'm on Arlovsky. Haas and Dalidze.
Dalidze.
I'm on Dalidze as well. And we know the Jacoby Roundtree thing. Gore and Freem.
Freem.
Vandera and Acosta.
Vandera.
And Tim Means, Max Griffin.
Dirty Bird.
Bird, bird. Bird is the word. Calvin bird Cater. Gang. Bird Gang. Arnold Allen, Calvin Cater.
Calvin Cater.
I'm on the same thing. I'm on the same thing. Should I bet still? Should I be betting still?
Yeah, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
All right, I'm back. I was literally ready to be done. Saddle. I was ready to be done after Saturday. I was I'm taking the rest of the year off. I can't do it anymore.
If I stopped every time I had a day like you had on Saturday,
I know.
I'd be stopping every week.
The problem is I'm having a year of Saturdays. I'm having a whole year of Saturdays. I'm better than this. You know what's honestly got me wrong or has me raw about the whole thing is that my reads are wrong.
Yeah,
I don't have a problem with a guy coming out and getting clipped or subbed or whatever the case may be, but I like to feel like I have a good general idea of how a fight could play out or will play out, and to be so god awful wrong with it this year, that's what's got me. That's what has me really.
Yeah, because it's not only does it make you feel like a bad better, it makes you feel dumb.
Yeah,
dumb, and that's there's nothing worse than feeling dumb.
It hurts your pride.
Yeah,
it hurts your pride.
Big shot to the pride.
A big shot. I mean. If somebody comes out and Jorge Masvidal is a Ben Askren, fuck, whatever. What are you going to do about that? You know? But like, I talk so much shit about that Gamrot fight and I was so wrong. So wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
I don't know. I had a guy message me. Well, you love these people too. I had a guy message me.
Favorite.
Yeah. This dude, I'm not going to say his name, but he only shows up whenever I eat shit.
Absolutely.
And he sends me a thing. He goes, I hope you can't pay rent this month because I can't now. Thanks. And I replied.
Your response should have been.
And my response was, if you're depending on someone like me for you to make rent, you're fucking up because I'm not the guy. That ain't me, bro. Also, I don't rent. I own my shit, bitch.
Thank you.
So
that should have been the response. That's the response. Yeah. Just the ultimate cuck. I don't rent. I own this.
But the flip side of that is too, is I understand that the powers of be in our government have made home ownership next to fucking impossible. So I will not. I'm not going to shit on people. If it wasn't for the Department of Veteran Affairs and the fucking VA home loan, your boy would not be a homeowner. I would rent as well. So. That the VA saved me there. But yeah, why can't I send the Goodwill Hunting? It's not your fault. Gift perfect for this. Just text it to me. It's still, I hope you can't pay rent. Yes, Brian. Thank you. Thank you. Oh man. You know what I love? You know, here's what I love. What I love about Brian is he, for all intents and purposes, he listens to the show, supports the show, and I appreciate it for that. But he thinks I'm a retard as well. Every time I tweet something, he's like, I think I've got tweets from him going, you're retarded. Like he said that to me before. And I'm like, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
He's using the R word with love.
Yeah. It's all love. I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's all. We sit on opposite sides of the fence on just about everything other than MMA. So, Alex Jones. Yeah, that's literally my life. Is that one? I would use that, dude. I send that one probably more than any other one. Is the Alex Jones one? So, you got anything else happening? Anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah, I did something today.
Okay, what'd you do?
Yeah, I like this. Kind of, you know, and it's not for some people. This would be a huge accomplishment. one of those people being the person who used to sit across the screen from you.
Oh gosh, so this has weight to it. Okay, I'm excited. I'm excited for this. I thought this is bullshit. Okay,
doing the oil, doing oil changes today, which I know that. One person who sat in a chair similar to me at one point in time.
It's over. It's over. Holy shit. Oh my gosh. All right.
That was a big deal for him.
Yeah. Yep.
But I recently purchased a Volkswagen this year.
Yeah, you got a Volkswagen. You got a foreign car.
I was dreading the first time I had to do any sort of maintenance on the car, because you know they're great cars, super reliable, but the big knock on them is, like, when it comes to doing any type of maintenance, what, even simple as oil change, just a complete pain in the ass.
Yeah, for sure.
Not so much.
It was good.
Easiest thing in the world, dude.
Oh really?
Filters on top.
Okay,
just pop off the cover on the engine bay.
Yeah.
Screw the filter off, take the old filter out. And it's not like your typical Fram filter.
Right.
It's like a filter, like an air filter, almost it looks like. Pop it in, screw it back on. And then the drain plug comes off with a flathead screwdriver.
Ooh, baby.
Super clutch.
Yeah.
You're not under there with a socket wrench fucking torquing your shoulder trying to.
And it's not behind or hidden.
It is. It's still behind the oil pan. Uh-huh. But it's a flathead. You just took a flathead in there, twist super easy. Super. And then doing my wife's Mitsubishi, I was ready to just take the car to the fucking dump.
Is there a reason why you only buy vehicles from people that we've been in world conflicts with?
Yeah, I owned a Hyundai as well as a Kia. Fucking.
Well, I don't understand.
I had a Ford Explorer at one point.
You had some of that Ford. Listen, buy the bow tie and that's it. You don't need to worry about anything else.
Yeah.
Just get you a Chevy. That's it. And then is there something about foreign cars that you like more?
Not really.
Okay. Anti-American.
So the Hyundai that I bought was the first car that I bought. Like I got like a, car when we were growing up.
Yeah.
But the Hyundai that I bought was the first car that I bought. It was under my name.
Yeah.
So I went with a Hyundai Accent because it was like $12,000 brand new.
Yeah, for sure.
And I lived in North Carolina and was driving home basically every weekend, and I got 58 miles to a gallon on it.
Right.
That was the reason behind that. When I went to the Kia, I went to Kia because they are the same company and I love their warranty program.
Yeah.
And I've never had any problems with their customer service, so I kind of stayed in the family.
Mm-hmm.
This time around, I just love the way the Tiguans look. And I test drove it and I fell in love. I do love the car. It's a great car.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Tiguan.
Is that how it's supposed to be pronounced?
I believe so.
When you went to the dealership, is that how they said it?
Yeah. It's not a Tiguan or a Tiguan. I think it's
I don't know. Is that a German word?
I think it's a Tiguan.
Is it a German word?
I don't know. Somebody's going to correct me at some point, I'm sure.
It doesn't sound like a German word.
Is Passat German?
That sounds
Jetta German?
Jetta. It sounds Jetta. a lot more than Tiguan.
Get to the Jetta.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Ein. No, I'm just kidding. My hand, you see my hands, they started to do the blade. Yeah. I had to calm down there for a second.
Oh, sorry. One more thing.
Yeah.
Sat down with my wife last night. She had not seen it yet. I haven't seen it since it came out.
Uh-oh.
Watched Hacksaw Ridge again. No.
Is it?
I'm done. Dude, it's so good.
Is it?
Yes.
I should go back and watch it again?
Yeah.
Combo of tiger and iguana in German. You can't make this shit up.
Is that producer Jake? Is that real?
He's back. He's got his Google going. He's ready to go.
Tiger and iguana.
What on earth? What I mean, is it like the strength of a tiger with the nimble?
So it's a Tiguan.
Yeah.
Not a Tiguan.
Well,
it could be a Tiguan because
Iguana? 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 Boy, Tiguan. We sound fucking dumb here. The Volkswagen Tiguan name is a combination of the German words for tiger and tiger? Iguana.
Iguana.
How is Tiguan pronounced? This combination of German words is pronounced Tiguan.
Tiguan. Okay.
You may be wondering how exactly Volkswagen came to choose the name Tiguan for this compact SUV.
Tiguan.
Yeah, interesting.
Tiguan. Huh. Very well.
Tiguan.
Tiguan.
I don't like it.
Nah, I like
it. I like how Jake left the OG Mudbone tab up there still. Like he did not close that out. So as soon as we're done with the show here, make sure the camera goes off. Goodness gracious. All right. It's been a real one. Appreciate everybody that continues to tune into the show. If you are interested in NBA, college football, and NFL plays, please head over to Soup Show at Gimme the Points. That is available every week. You guys record on Wednesday most weeks. If not, yeah. Wednesday on the live stream, you post all of your plays to Instagram. And you don't do the Twitter thing yet, correct?
So I've tried to get Tyler. I'm not a tweeter.
You're not a tweeter,
I've never had tweets.
Yep.
But he tweets. He's a Twitter guy. And
Oh, he's on Twitter?
Yeah. I've tried to get him to do the Twitter. Uh-huh. But
he won't do it?
I just see he's just very inconsistent. He's
fucking lazy, man. It's hard to find good help, dude. It's hard to find good help. All right.
Fucking nerd.
Yep. Just when you think you get it under control, everybody just leaves you, you know? All right. Thanks, everybody that tunes in. I freaking love you guys and girls. And we'll see everybody on Saturday.
Oregon Cal over 58.5 tempting. We'll see.